especially thank Larry, but Milton Sewell also this morning for leading our singing while Gary is a bit under the weather. It's encouraging to have so much talent in the congregation and people who are able to step in and do the job when someone else may be not up to par as far as health is concerned. Can you do anything about the number of years that you live on this earth? It is true that the Bible teaches us in Hebrews 9:27 that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. But does that mean that everything is so predestinated in the mind of God that there is nothing you and I can do about it? One fellow was flying an airplane, and he asked his friend to go up with him and ride, and he said, no. He said, well, now, I don't understand. He said, you are of the religious belief that whatever will be, aren't you? He said, yes, sir. And you believe that when it comes your time to die, you're going to die. You believe that? Yes, sir. Well, he said, I don't understand why you don't want to go up in the airplane. It wouldn't make any difference whether your time comes while we're up there or while you're on the ground. He said, I'm afraid your time might come while we're up there. Now, I think all of us believe in the providence of God and the power of God to control. And I believe and preach that everything is in the power of God's hands and the palm of God's hand. But if I did not believe that God can be persuaded to change his mind, I'd quit praying. If I did not believe that there are some things that we can do to affect the length of life and the quality of life, I would quit praying to God and I would quit preaching as I do. In Proverbs, the 10th chapter and verse 27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Now, if we closed the Bible and sat down and said nothing else, we would have proven the point that there is something that can be done to lengthen our days or to shorten our days. Now, we must remember as we discuss this that God is in charge and that there are some limits placed on what we can do and cannot do, and that when we've done everything that we can, that there is a line out there beyond which we cannot go and beyond which we are totally dependent on God. But folks, there is an area where we can do something about the quantity and the quality of life. There may be a tendency on the part of many of us today to say, I'm just going to turn everything over to God and let him control my life. I think there is a sense in which we use that that's good, in that we are going to be governed by his word. We are going to be submissive to his will. We pray that circumstances might be such that we will have the best opportunities, and in that sense, we place everything in God's hands. But folks, if I understand the teaching of the Bible, God has placed some responsibility in our hands. He has made us with the freedom of choice, as taught in the scene of creation itself and the events that immediately followed, as emphasized again in passages like the latter part of Joshua, where he emphasized to the people, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. You make the decision what you're going to do. And so at the same time that we figuratively at least turn our lives over to God, we accept literally the responsibility to make some decisions, not pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps, not working our salvation out in works of merit, because that's impossible, but working out our salvation nonetheless, Philippians 2 and verse 12. Not saving ourselves in the sense of presenting the plan or making the plan possible or paying the price, which was the blood of Christ, but saving ourselves in that we must be obedient to the will of God. One of the first things Peter told the people after they had asked what to do to be saved and he'd given them the plan was the admonition to save yourselves from this untoward generation. Acts 2, verse 39, and 40 and 41, emphasizing the idea. I understand the Bible to teach that there are some things that we can do to shorten our lives, and there are some things that we can do to lengthen our lives. Some factors are beyond our control. The inheritance factors are there. What is involved in God's will for us may not always be what our will for ourselves would be, and we, like Christ, are to submit ourselves to the will of God. But in the passage that Paul read a few minutes ago, did you notice that God lengthened the life of Hezekiah for 15 years? He told him that here is your appointment to die, set your house in order, you're going to die, and I understand that context to be saying you're going to die soon. And some events unfolded to where God sent the prophet back and said, tell him that I've added 15 years to his life. There again is proof of the proposition before us. Let's think first about how we can shorten our lives. It's mentioned here in Proverbs 10:27 that the years of the wicked shall be shortened. That gives us an indication. In Psalms 89, verse 45, the days of his youth hast thou shortened. Thou hast covered him with shame. Perhaps there is another indication there. One of the ways that far too many people are shortening life today is through suicide. We have the story of Judas in Matthew 27, verse 5, where after he had brought the money back, the Bible says he went out and hanged himself. A man who had made a mistake, very serious mistake, but no more serious than the one Peter had made in denying Christ. Here's a man who evidently let the situation get the best of him instead of taking hold of it and handling it with the help of God, as Peter did shortly after that. Here's a man who may have had some of the same qualifications that Peter had that helped him to stand up and preach that powerful sermon on Pentecost, and yet he went out and took his own life. He shortened his years to that point. Suicide is one of the great killers among young people today. We read and hear about events that take place where the ball gets to rolling in some places and there's just one suicide after another among young people that are in the same school. And let me say to you on that point, without the time to go into a detailed discussion, there is nothing that is bad enough to give us sufficient reason to end our own lives. And the reason for that is there is nothing that is bad enough that we can solve it, at least to the extent of being forgiven, by turning to Jesus Christ and to God. So certainly we need to understand that we ought never to consider shortening our lives in the sense of taking it into our own hands and committing suicide and ending life at that time. In addition to this, the Bible indicates to us that we can also shorten our years. And doctors have told us that for a long time, haven't they? Not only doctors who treat physical ailments, but doctors who treat emotional and mental ailments have told us that our approach to life and our attitude toward life can shorten our lives. In the text that we used here in Proverbs 10:27, notice that it is the wicked whose lives are going to be shortened. That indicates to us that if we involve ourselves in those things that are wicked, especially those sins that are against the body, as described in 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17, and particularly the sin of fornication against the body in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, a few verses before that describing and leading up to it. When we involve ourselves in the wicked aspects of life, we may very well do those things that can cut days off our lives. There is a strong possibility, proven even outside of the field of religion, that to smoke cigarettes and use that type drug is a way of shortening our lives. Nicotine is a drug that causes more deaths in the United States, perhaps, than any other drug. There is every indication that each drink of alcoholic beverage tends to kill some of the brain cells and perhaps affects the body negatively as well as the mind, negatively in other ways. It has been proven beyond a doubt that most of the drugs that we consider drug problems or problems with drugs in our country today can very well shorten the years of life. And even in some instances, the baby that is born of the mother that is using those has the life shortened and in other ways made miserable by the use of them. And you and I are well aware of some of the sports figures particularly who, because of overdose, have perhaps in some instances without wanting to taken their own lives by taking something into their bodies that have affected life itself. I think I need not take the time to prove tonight that we face one of the most dangerous situations in the world that has ever been faced in dealing with the disease of AIDS, which definitely is proven to shorten life, being at the point right now that there is no cure for it and very little control of it. How many times have you sat recently and seen an interview on television where somebody sits there and says, "I know I am dying soon"? And that person is a young person. Why do you know this? "Because I have this disease." And in many instances, if the truth were known, wickedness and evil would have been involved in the circumstances under which the disease was transmitted. And in some instances, even willfully, the person being involved willfully in the acts and the circumstances there. Folks, there are many things that we can do that directly affect life in the sense of shortening our days. There are other things that we can do which may indirectly affect the length of life. It's just a fact that if you get in your automobile tonight, particularly with it being a rainy night, and get out here on the road and start driving 75, 80, 100 miles an hour, that you're putting your life in danger and the lives of others in danger. By breaking the law, by doing those things that are evil, indirectly the length of life may be affected. Many times an innocent person is killed, his life is stopped, his years are shortened because of the evil effect of that which is taken into the body and unwise decisions that are made in the mind of the person involved. The handling of firearms without discretion and without knowledge may shorten one's life in accidental situations. And so the Bible teaches in these passages that there are ways that we can shorten our lives. Even overeating, a lack of exercise, a lack of good hygiene, factors as simple as some of these may affect the health of the heart and the circulatory system in the body and other systems to the extent that our continuation to do those things will shorten life. How many times has the doctor said, if you want to live, you'd better get up and start getting some exercise. Quit being a couch potato. If you want to live, you'd better do some push-ups and some push-backs from the table and control your weight. Because as you put on more pounds, that puts more stress on the heart, and more stress on the heart may cause that heart to quit beating sooner than it would have otherwise. So directly and indirectly, we may affect our lives by shortening life. On the other side of the coin, however, God's Word says that we can lengthen our days. That is indicated here in verse 27 of Proverbs 10, and particularly one concept is presented. He says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. The fear of the Lord. Fear here is more involved with the idea of respect, reverence, and awe than it is being afraid of God in the same sense as being afraid of a wild animal. Chapter 1, verse 7 of Proverbs says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And many times knowledge, the right kind of knowledge, may help us to have a better quality of life, which in turn may help us to have a greater quantity of life. And so God's Word says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. If you have respect for God, you're going to have respect for the fact that He made you in His image. And if you have respect for that fact, it is necessarily going to have some effect upon decisions that you make, some things that you do, and some things that you do not do. Back in Proverbs, the third chapter, in verse 16, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Back in verse 11, 12, and 13, particularly verse 13, he identifies wisdom as the subject. He says, using wisdom. My dad always called that what I believe to be the same thing as some common bay horse sense. Use a little bit of common sense along with the knowledge. And you and I understand from the teaching of God's Word that wisdom is involved in the use of knowledge. We're told to pray for wisdom. We're told that we need wisdom. Over in the New Testament, in James, the third chapter, and verse 17, he's talking about the subject of wisdom. He says, the wisdom that is from above is first pure, listen to these, pure and peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. You see why wisdom can help us to lengthen our days? If we live with an attitude that's described in this, we're interested in purity, just that fact alone may help us avoid some of the problems we mentioned a moment ago. Peaceable, gentle, being at peace with everybody, able to live in an attitude of peace to where there is a calmness in one's life is even mentioned by our doctors as having an effect upon our lives. And so God's Word says if we'll just learn to use wisdom, particularly wisdom that is godlike, not man's wisdom, but wisdom that is godlike and some good common sense that's based upon those principles God has taught us, that it will lengthen our lives. There is another place in the third chapter of Proverbs that talks about length of days. Back in the first part of the chapter. Verse 1, my son, forget not my laws, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Now, did you hear what he said? He said these will add days to your life. What does he say do? Keep the commandments of God. Perhaps that's another way of talking about the wisdom, another way of talking about the fear and respect of God that we ought to have. 1 John 5:3 tells us that commandments of God are not grievous. And as we study passages such as this, we begin to realize that the commandments from our Father in heaven are for our own good. We have fathers in the flesh that say that, and sometimes we don't understand it. But if there is ever a case where Father knows best, it's in the area of where God has given us his commandments and he's told us what to do because he knows what's best for us. Now, there may be some of God's commandments where he is telling us what to do to see if we will submit to him. And yet the commandments that have to do with Christian living particularly are those commandments where God knows what's best for us. And I think as we get older, we even begin to understand this through experience and observation. That those folks who respect the commandments of God and live by them have a higher quality of life, more quality time, as people talk about it. And this passage definitely says that it will lengthen days. It's rather interesting that not only does the Bible say that keeping the commandments of the Heavenly Father will lengthen our days, but boys and girls, listen particularly, it says that keeping the commandments of our earthly parents will lengthen our days. Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, listen, that it may be well with thee and that thy days may be long on this earth. He says just obeying our parents and honoring them and respecting them is an attitude of mind and a type of life that will lengthen our days. And it's interesting in this one, as in many of the cases, it also talks about the quality, that it may be well with thee and that thy days may be long on this earth. We ought to obey our dads and mothers out of our love and respect for them. And yet we have an additional reason that a promise is given. Here is a specific promise with this specific commandment, that if we will obey our parents and honor them, that our days will be long. In Psalm 34, verses 12 and 13, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days? Notice again, loveth many days that he may see good. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. Do you see how in all these passages it comes right back to that basic concept of just good Christian living? Watch your tongue. There have been instances where a person opened his mouth and shortened his life by saying something when he should have been quiet. He says, seek peace. And I like that little statement, and do good. We'll come back to that in a moment from another angle. But fill your life with service and good in helping others. And he says it's going to lengthen your days. In fact, while we're on it, let's just go to a New Testament passage in 1 Peter, the third chapter, and look at something that he says there. In 1 Peter 3, verses 10 and 11, he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips that they speak no guile, let him eschew or hate evil, and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Almost a quotation of what's back there in the other passage. I've had people say to me, particularly those who study the minds of men, if you get to feeling blue and down in life, get out and do something for somebody else quickly. The idea of service, mercy to others and help to others, he says this will lengthen your life. And the reason I believe, though there may be more involved in it than I understand, the reason I believe this is true is that when we quit being selfish and we develop an attitude of service and an attitude of humility, it helps us to relax ourselves and put ourselves in proper focus to where we better understand what life is about and what service to God is about. Here's what the Bible says. If you would lengthen your days, fear the Lord, live with wisdom, try to make the right kind of decisions, respect the commandments of God, respect the commandments of your parents, seek peace, and do good, and you will lengthen your days. It really just boils down to this, that the person who lives a good Christian life based on the principles of God can lengthen his days. And the one who lives the opposite kind of life based on the principles of evil is one who can shorten his days. No wonder, Tom, as you've studied in 1 Timothy in the last few weeks, that it says that bodily exercise profiteth a little, but godliness is profitable, having promise in this life and in the life that is to come. No wonder Jesus told the people when he was on earth that if you follow me, you will gain in this life 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, and in the world to come, eternal life. I suggest to you tonight that the full concept for which Christ died is not only eternal life yonder, but abundant life here. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And these passages tonight prove beyond any doubt that we not only by our own decisions within the guidelines of God's Word can affect both the quality and the quantity of our days. Just another reason for being a Christian. Just another reason why we unashamedly invite people to come to Christ and to be baptized into Him. And why we beg of all of us to live day in and day out by the principles of godliness, because those principles will work. We just need to live the Christian life. I say to you tonight that I believe that you can lengthen your days by becoming a Christian and living as a Christian. And you may very well shorten those days by staying outside of Jesus Christ and living in wickedness. Is there any better reason short of heaven itself for being a Christian? I think not. Therefore, we urge you to come if you need to, as together we stand and sing.
Calling today, why from the sunshine of love will